Our lesson this morning is in Acts chapter 10, verses 23 to 48, Christ's use of circumstances to lead Peter to evangelize in Japheth's line. One way that God leads his people into new directions in life and ministry is through biblical circumstances. Christ led Peter to evangelize Gentiles this way, and we view it for our insight as follows. Circumstances are something that we shouldn't rely upon just in and of themselves, because a person can face circumstances that are actually deceiving. I knew a man who had come to our Bible college many years ago and said that he got led into spiritism, where he was trafficking with demons and so forth. And he said he met with a group of people who sat around a card table. He thought they were Christians because they held hands and they opened their seance with singing Face to Face with Christ My Savior. And then they would go into these practices. And so he thought it was a Christian group until after he had gotten into it. He was not a believer at the time. And then he found it really tripped him up. So circumstances in and of themselves, just by themselves, can be very misleading. So the reason I'm looking at the set of circumstances that Peter was able to use is because there are things that surrounded those circumstances that gave evidence that those circumstances were being given by God. And that's why we want to look at circumstances this morning. Let's bow for prayer before we get into the Word of God. Father, thank you for your love and your Word and for the opportunity you have given us to expose ourselves to this truth in your Word. We ask, Father, that as we look at your Word this morning, we would be able to get to the point where we can discern the circumstances that you are using in our lives to lead us versus deceptive and wrong signals from the evil one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. After agreeing to go with the Gentile messengers from Cornelius, in keeping with the vision that Peter himself had received from God about accepting Gentiles, remember that's what we covered last week in Acts chapter 10, 9 to 22, Peter departed for Cornelius' house with his messengers. And this was a bold step of faith for an Orthodox Jew to take. In verse 23, of course, Peter called these Gentiles in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied. Now, Peter had had this vision himself. He had evidence that the Lord was working with him, because the Lord had let the sheet down, you remember, from heaven three times. And three is often a sign in Peter's past relationship with the Lord. That's often a signal that the Lord's trying to get through to him and correct him in some way. He got after him because he had said, "I will not deny you, Lord," and the Lord says, "Before you the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times." So, and then after Peter, after the resurrection, after Peter had repented and so forth, the Lord met him at the Sea of Galilee and three times asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Sure." And then he said, "Feed my sheep." So the Lord worked in sets of three. So there's plenty of biblical background for Peter's circumstance, and that's why he's going with these people. Now, Cornelius, with his household, his relatives and close friends, were waiting for Peter to arrive. And when Peter entered his home, Cornelius bowed down and began to worship Peter. Notice verses 24 and 25. "And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him." Now remember, Cornelius did fear Israel's God, but since he himself had had a vision about this man Peter coming to tell him a message, he wasn't sure about Peter's relationship to God, whether Peter was just a man or God or whatnot. So he just bowed down and began worshipping him. Now, what's interesting, Peter responded. Peter took him up and said, "Stand up, I myself am just a man." And this demonstrates that Peter had a clear conscience before the Lord, and he also was being honest. So Peter quickly raised Cornelius up, explaining that he was just a man. And when Peter found the house full of Gentiles, he explained that even they knew it was unlawful for him as a Jew to fellowship with them, but how God had showed him that he was not to call any man common or unclean. Verse 28, "And Peter said unto these Gentiles, you know how that it is unlawful for a thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company with or to come into another of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Now, there's a biblical basis for this. If you go all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, 3 through 6, God had warned the people of Israel not to fellowship with the Gentiles of the land. When they came into the land, they were not supposed to give their daughters to their sons in marriage. They were not supposed to take their daughters for their sons in marriage. Otherwise, God was going to judge them. And he said, the reason is, if you do, then you're going to begin worshiping their false gods. So the Jews, biblically, were supposed to separate from the pagans around them. So when God has given Peter this vision, and Peter is now mixing with his people, this is a tremendous strain for Peter, because he knows God wants him to mingle with these people. He doesn't understand fully, probably, why there's been a change in the fact that before they couldn't interact with these people. But he's meeting with them. And so in verse 29, he asks them, what's this all about? Therefore, I came unto you without gainsaying, without rebelling or talking back to God, as soon as I was sent for. I ask, therefore, what intent have you sent for me? In other words, I want to find out why you're asking for me. God has signaled that I go with you for some reason. I don't know why, but why is the reason from your perspective? Now, at this point, God provides another set of circumstances for Peter that demonstrate to him that God is involved in this whole thing, both from Cornelius' standpoint as well as from Peter's standpoint. And this helps to certify what Peter is supposed to do next. So Cornelius' reply, explaining the details of his own vision of Peter's coming, circumstantially provided the evidence Peter needed to conclude God wanted him to give the gospel to these Gentiles. Let me just read those verses where Cornelius explains this whole situation. Verses 30 through 33. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, which was probably noon, and at the ninth hour, that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak to you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to you, and you have well done that you have come. Now, therefore, we are here present, all here present before God, to hear all the things that are commanded you of God. So let's go back through this. Cornelius told how 4 days earlier he had been fasting and praying when he had a vision about the ninth hour, the 3 o'clock Jewish time of prayer at the evening sacrifice. Now what's interesting is Peter knew that the timing of this vision fit with God's addressing Old Testament saints by angels. It was at the time of the evening sacrifice in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, after Daniel had been praying and confessing his sins, just a lot like Cornelius had been in prayer. At the time of the evening sacrifice, the angel Gabriel came to Daniel and gave him the tremendous vision about the 70 weeks of Daniel, around which are formed the seven-year tribulation. That's where we first get the implication that there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. Very important vision. And it was also the time of prayer in Zechariah. Remember in Luke chapter 1 was in the temple, and the angel Gabriel appeared to him there. And the time of prayer would have been the time of the evening sacrifice. The evening sacrifice is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The morning sacrifice is 9 o'clock in the morning. It's interesting that Jesus was put on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's on the cross for that 6-hour period of time. And for the first 3 hours, that's where man related to Jesus on the cross. The last 3 hours, from noon to 3, when the Father related to Christ, and that's when there was darkness over the whole surface of the earth. But anyway, Peter here recognizes that there is a biblical precedent for the timing of this vision. Now, in that vision, Cornelius said a man stood before him in bright clothes, and Peter would know from the appearance of the angels at Christ's tomb that this was an angel of God. Remember, Luke is the one who is writing the book of Acts, and in Luke chapter 24, 4-6, when the women came to the tomb, there were men there dressed in bright clothes. These were angels. So for this particular angel to be in bright, shining clothes demonstrated that this was an angel of God. Now, where do the bright, shiny clothes come from? The bright, shiny clothes first appear when Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter, James, and John are there, and they see him in his bright, shiny clothes. And this was a revelation that Jesus Christ was going to look like that in the Messianic kingdom that was to come. Christ gave this vision to the disciples so that they would have a glimpse of the fact that indeed he was the Messiah. He would one day be ruling on the earth in His bright, shiny garments as the glorified Savior. So for Peter to say this Gentile man, whom he knew had not witnessed Christ in His transfiguration, whom he knew, this man knew nothing about the resurrection of Christ from the tomb, nor about the angels, to say that this man had seen this messenger in a vision with bright, shiny clothes would really signal to Peter, God, the same God who's been working with him through Jesus Christ, Christ's resurrection, has now been come to this particular man. Now, this angel from God announced Cornelius' prayer had been heard and that his alms were recalled in the sight of God. And these references to good works that Peter knew were repeatedly made by God's angels when they appeared to Old Testament saints to signal to him once again that God was at work. In Daniel 9:23, the angel comes to Daniel and makes reference to his prayers and how his prayers have been heard. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, once again, he makes reference to Daniel's good works and so forth. Luke 1:13, when the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple to announce the coming of John the baptizer, that he was going to bear the Son, he says, your prayers have been heard before the Lord. So for this angel to make that same reference, Peter knows this is a signal of the angel of God. Then Cornelius told him a bunch of details that Peter knew he could not have gotten on his own. They had to have been given to him supernaturally. The angel had told him to send to Joppa for Simon, whose surname was Peter. Now this is interesting because Simon was the name that Peter had been born with. Peter was the name that Jesus gave him. So this messenger said, Simon, and his surname is Peter. That's the name that God had given him. How did this man know this? It had to be from God. Surname was Peter, who lodged with another Simon, who was a tanner. He was by the seashore, and that this Peter was to come to him with a message. You've got a whole bunch of events here. I think it's 10, if I count them right. 12 different events here. The likelihood of this man accurately detailing this, I think, goes off the chart in regards to the chances, the odds of him coming up with all of these particular details. So, many specific personal details Peter knew could not have been humanly known by Cornelius were spoken by him, so he knew that his vision had been supernatural. So it had been a supernatural vision, and there were all these evidences that happened to match biblical precedents. And Peter knows that he himself has had a vision from the Lord, totally independent of Cornelius. Cornelius knew nothing about Peter's vision. And then on top of that, Cornelius explained his household was full of people who were expecting to hear a message from God through Peter, believing Peter had been commanded of God to deliver it unto him. See, Cornelius, in verse 33, he's not indicating that he's following Satan in any way or that he's involved in witchcraft. He says, now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things that are commanded you of God. This was a God-fearing man. So, guess what Peter did? The many circumstances of Cornelius' vision, with their biblical bases, together with the devotion Cornelius had to Israel's God, along with Peter's own earlier vision about accepting Gentiles, convinced Peter to give the gospel to his household. Peter then testified that this all made him realize God did not respect persons, but had accepted all men in every nation who feared and obeyed him. Verses 34 and 35, Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, or of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. And then Peter gave these Gentiles the gospel, that one is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Beginning at verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, of whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, while Peter was saying that, notice what happened, verse 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all which heard the word. And this is fascinating. These people obviously are believing what Peter is saying. That's why the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Now, the reason the Holy Spirit came upon them without Peter stopping to lay his hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit is Peter, at this point, wouldn't have come close to laying his hands on a Gentile, full-blooded Gentile, so that he would receive the Holy Spirit. So God is doing this of his own power. And this is why these people are speaking in tongues. While Peter, verse 44, spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them, which heard the word. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision, these were the Jews who were with Peter, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with other languages and magnify God. This was a tremendous. This is one of the reasons why, this is actually the reason why these people suddenly are speaking in tongues with the Holy Spirit coming upon them. God has to prove to other Jews that the Holy Spirit is now coming upon full-blooded Gentiles. So, verse 47. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they with him, or they requested that he stay with them certain days. And of course, Peter did. So while Peter was explaining that God granted remission of sins by faith in Christ, these Gentiles believed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began supernaturally to speak in other languages like the Jewish believers did on the day of Pentecost, evidence that they also were in the church. So shocked that the Holy Spirit had come upon Gentiles, Peter and the Jews with him agreed they could not withhold baptism from them. So they baptized them and stayed with them for several days. Huge lesson here. Christ used circumstances based on biblical truths that were given above any human ability in the context of very devout people to guide Peter to give Gentiles the gospel of Christ. So may we view extensive circumstances that are based on biblical truths that are given above human ability in the context of devout people as being from God and follow God's leading in them. Okay, this is evidence of how God works through circumstances. It's not just the circumstances, it's not just the coincidence and coincidences of these circumstances. We have to keep in mind there have to be a biblical pattern that is involved. And also, these circumstances often involve different people who don't have contact with one another but are committed to the Lord. And when God is using circumstances in two different parties in two different locations that mesh, and both parties are very devout followers of God, and the circumstances themselves are couched in extremely biblical backgrounds. Those are the circumstances that God is using. So we have to be very careful. Just because a set of circumstances comes up does not mean that's necessarily God's will. All of these other things have to be involved. Godly people, coincidences that match and mesh with Scripture abundantly, then we know that God is leading through those sets of circumstances. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you might have on this particular. It could be on this particular subject, or maybe there's something else that has come up, and we'll address that as well.